Good morning.
Good morning.
I think most know who I am by now. I'm Pastor Micah Glenn. Used to be seminarian Micah Glenn. My wife was a deaconess here a couple times. But if you haven't seen me before, it's nice to see you. I am the guest pastor for today. Things will be as normal as possible. I think I can kind of remember how Pastor Caseman does it. That being said, let's stand and greet each other with the peace of the Lord. God's peace. Good to see you. Our order of service this morning is Divine Service Setting 2, found on page 167 in your hymnal. And we'll stand for confession and absolution. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We'll kneel for confession. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll stand and continue our service with hymn 902, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. We continue with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness that we may love and serve our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake.
and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found him, Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and went after Elijah and he assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. We'll now sing Psalm 16 together in unison. Our epistle lesson comes from Galatians chapter 5. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the verse in the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that engages us this morning is our epistle lesson from Galatians 5, where St. Paul implores us to be fruitful in the Spirit rather than the world. So about a month ago, let me start over. Summer is my favorite fruit season because of yellow nectarines. I think if there was one thing, if you put me on a desert island and said you can only eat one thing for the rest of your life, I would be perfectly content eating 7 or 8, probably 15, yellow nectarines per day. You can ask Dorothy. I go to the store, I get 7, and they last 2 days. Between me and Johnny, he likes them just as much as I do. They're just, it's the perfect fruit. It's the perfect combination of sweetness and tartness, and I like to get them before they get soft, right, to where it's still sweet and juicy, but still a little bite to them, a little texture. It's the reason why I don't like peaches, not because of flavor, because they get soft too quickly. I like my apples the same way, nice and crisp. I like them to go when you bite into it. And so I went to Walmart because I get excited around this time of year. It's nectarine season. I go and I pick through them. I find nice firm ones that aren't too red, that still have a little bit of yellow on them. And I got about 7 of them, and I went home and I bit into one, and it was completely bland and dry on the inside. And then I picked out another one, and the same thing, bland and dry on the inside. They looked right, but they just didn't taste right. And you begin to wonder and think, maybe they took them off the tree too early. I think that happens quite often in fruit season. They're rushing to get them to the grocery store, so they pick them a little bit too early. So maybe I could have taken them out and put them in a brown paper bag. I don't know. Maybe the tree is bad that these ones came off of. That's also a possibility. Maybe the tree itself is making nectarines, but maybe something's going on in the soil. It doesn't have the right amount of nutrients. Who knows? The fruit just weren't good. I feel like this is what it's like when somebody comes across a Christian who does all the right things, who goes to church, who wears a cross on their shirt, but doesn't bear the fruit of the Spirit, but instead bears the fruit of the world in their actions and their behavior. And when somebody comes across as Christian or non-Christian, it's just disappointing. You see, when you say you're a follower of Jesus, and when you say it to the world, regardless of their image of us, you see it all the time. Non-Christians will come across a Christian who's doing a non-Christian thing, and even though they aren't a Christian, they'll call us out for it. Aren't you a Christian? You're not supposed to behave that way. And while they're of the world and not of the Spirit, they're really calling us out in the truth. You see, followers of Jesus, us who have been baptized, grafted into the Holy Spirit, fed and nourished by the Word of God through His sacraments, we're meant to behave in a particular way. In the world, we're meant to bear good fruit in everything we say and do. And when we don't do that, it's off-putting. And so as we're looking at this text from St. Paul, it's wonderful words of encouragement telling us to walk in a sanctified life according to the Spirit of God, something that God enables us to do, something that God helps us to do, something that God gives us the resources, the nutrients, the ability to do. But sometimes we find ourselves in positions and situations where our old nature takes control and we begin to bear fruit of the wrong variety, of the wrong texture, of the wrong flavor. And it's simply off-putting. When I read these different kinds of fruit, I mean, because in this text, there are really two kinds of fruit. There are fruit of the world and there's fruit of the Spirit. And when we're reading this text, when I've heard it in the past, I usually only get the first flavor of the fruit of the world. We get to sexual immorality and we stop. Because for most of us, that's an easy one to kind of distinguish ourselves from. Especially right now over across the river, St. Louis, the Pride Parade is going on. And one summer, during the Pride Festival, we went there. It was an evangelism module through the seminary. And when we went, I was under the impression that we were going there to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to preach good news to the people who are trapped and consumed by the world. But that's not what we did, and it wasn't how it was perceived. When we got there, people thought we were part of a hate group. You see, the Westboro Baptist Church had been there just before us. They got kicked out, and then we show up, and there were gay-affirming churches there, so the idea was that the church would accept everything that they said that they were doing in their lives. And there's a way to go about not affirming that behavior, but not producing fruit of the world. You see, when we were there, I was walking around with the leader, and he told me, until we get them to doubt their lifestyle, until we break them down and curse them by the law, until we kind of do these things, and until we create division and enmity between us, they'll never follow Jesus. But you see, the law, enmity, division, has never gotten anybody to follow Jesus. If anything, it pushes them away further. And so moving past this one, the sexual immorality, because homosexuality isn't the only sexual sin. I've been in a church where a man cheated on his wife, left her, and then married somebody else, but there was no discipline. So we reject one form of sexual sin, but we let another one slide. That's a fruit of the world. But nonetheless, when we read the rest of them, I get to things like fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. Those ones hit home, I think, for us. We've just gone through an election cycle of the LCMS, and if you're like most people, you don't pay attention to who the president of the Senate is, but if you're like some and you follow it, our election cycle in the LCMS is no better than any other election cycle in the world. It creates division. It creates enmity. We're electing a man of God to lead the church, and we should trust that that man of God, no matter who he is, should lead our church faithfully, but we don't do that. We let the rest of the world consume us, and you can even see it in our language, how we talk about each other. And there's no wonder when we're producing this worldly fruit that we can't truly walk together as a body of Christ in the same direction, in the same attitude, in the same spirit, because we're letting our worldly nature consume us. And as we're producing these fruit, the rest of the world is watching. There are articles written about us in the Post-Dispatch and the like, and it's just bananas. It's crazy. It's crazy that the Church of God is being talked about this way, but the newspaper isn't really lying. A couple years ago, we had a symposium at the seminary, and a woman that wasn't even a Christian came onto our campus. It was about memory. She was a Buddhist, but she was a psychologist, and we were talking about memory. That's why she was there. But she was only on our campus for 2 days. She didn't do any research about the LCMS. But one of my professors was taking her back to the airport, and he asked her what she thought. And after 2 days with us in the seminary, her reaction was, "You are an embattled people." That was her initial impression of us. It wasn't a gentle people. It wasn't a loving people. It wasn't a kind people. It wasn't a fruit of the Spirit people. It was an angry people, a divisive people. And it's a gut check, brothers and sisters. It's one of those things where when somebody is saying that about us, and when the world, when the newspaper are writing that about us, we can do one thing. We can say that's their opinion, that's not who we are. Or we can do the thing led by the Spirit. We can look at ourselves in a mirror. We can confess our sins the way that God invites us to. And we can be led by the Spirit into a sanctified life. We can, in fact, turn away from these divisions, these anger, these things that keep us trapped under the law. And we can live new lives each and every day. And it's not a process. And this is the mistake that we place ourselves on when we place our unrealistic expectations. You never plant a tree and expect it to bear fruit the next day. In fact, I've never planted a fruit tree. We've owned some, but I imagine that there's a certain seasons of maturity before it begins to actually make the fruit you want it to make, at least in abundance. And that's the same way for us. We've been grafted into this tree, this Holy Spirit, this life-giving God who continually breathes new life into us. And it's seasons of maturity, each and every day, each and every year, walking with God to be the creation that He wants us to be in this world. I was watching this documentary, and there was this guy, and I think he lives in D.C., and he spends his time taking branches from different fruit trees and grafting them on to one tree, so one tree produces like 9 different kinds of fruit. It's actually quite remarkable. Like, it's this whole process, and he's really good at it, and this one tree had plums and apples and cherries, I think, and so on and so on. And you see, at the very beginning, that process, the tree that he's planting those, grafting those other branches into, has to be, at least in my mind, of a very basic knowledge of how this kind of stuff works, that the soil has to be good. The roots have to be deep. They have to be strong. And it requires maintenance. That tree, in my mind, is us. Planted and rooted in the Word of God. And nourished and fed by the Holy Spirit through those words. You see, if we distance ourselves from the reality of what St. Paul is telling us in this text, of what not to be and what we should be, if we ignore his words and we pretend like we're not susceptible to the negative, if we're not susceptible to the world, if we don't open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and let God do his work in pruning us and caring for us, then we'll never produce these fruit that St. Paul is talking about. But see, in our baptism, that's when God began doing his work in us, when we were baptized into Christ Jesus and made trees for fruit of the Spirit, for fruit such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, I imagine a world when one day I can do these things faithfully, each and every day. And I imagine that day because I know where the power to produce those fruit comes from. And it's not from me. It's from the Spirit. And walking in life with him each and every day. And understanding that when I produce a fruit of anger, when I produce a fruit of division, through the Word of God, those branches that produce those fruit can be pruned away. Can be pruned away from me and cast off to rot and die, so that what I'm being fed by can produce more fruit of God. You see, it would have been so much more effective if we'd have been in that Pride Festival, if we were going to people, and not immediately, I mean, it's quite obvious in a space like that what's taking place. And I'll be honest with you, I was shocked by the scene. I'm just being honest. There were things I saw, not that like my mind is scarred or anything like that, but just the licentiousness of the event. It wasn't just one partner with one partner. There were groups of people walking around together. I think I'm painting a good enough picture for you of what was taking place. But imagine instead of going in there and trying to convert people through telling them how wrong they were, instead stopping with people and asking them about who they were, of using patience to have an honest dialogue, to get to know what was going on in their lives before we started chopping away. And at one point, that actually happened. You see, I stopped walking around with the leader because I just couldn't stomach it anymore, mostly because when I think of evangelism, it's not to turn people away from God, it's to bring people closer to God. And instead, went around with a different person who was more joyful, who wasn't necessarily happy to be there, but was happy to be alive in Christ Jesus. And together, we walked around, and we still ran to people who were contentious with us. We had shirts that were identifying who we are and the like, and so people were avoiding us, people were confronting us. But one time, there was a young woman there, and she came over to us, and she was struggling with her homosexuality. She had been raised in the church, and she knew that homosexuality was wrong, but in her heart, in her mind, God had created her that way. And so struggling with the reality of, if this is the way God has created me to be attracted to other girls, but I know it's wrong, what am I supposed to do? And we stopped and we talked to this young woman for at least an hour. And by the end of that hour of patiently, gently speaking to this young woman, I'm not going to say she turned away from homosexuality that day and started a new life. I to be honest with you, I don't know. But we prayed for her and we gave her contact information to connect her back to the church. And in my mind, what could have happened is she could have returned to church and again began to be fed, pruned, and nourished by the Spirit of God through His Word to stop producing fruit of the world and instead to produce fruit of the Spirit. You see, even when we see things are wrong, just like in our gospel reading, it can be very enticing to pray to God and just say, God, rain a fire down on that pride festival and remove this stain from the earth. And if we prayed that way, Jesus would rebuke us. The same way He rebuked the disciples. Because that's not how God's love works. You see, without baptism, you and I are no different than the people at the Pride Festival. Our sin would still consume us. But with Christ, through His patience, through His love, through His mercy, through His grace, while we were still enemies with Him, He died for us. He gave up His life for you and for me, so that every day, through our baptisms, we can continue to walk through Him, to reflect upon our lives, to look at the things that we do wrong, and pray to God that those things be removed from us so that we can start producing, living in a way pleasing to Him. Because if we're living in a way that's pleasing to God, if we're living in love, patiently, gently, with self-control, when people see us, they won't be able to speak poorly of us. They won't be able to write negative articles about us in the Post-Dispatch. They won't be thinking that we're embattled people. Instead, they'll come, they'll smell the fruit of the Spirit and its sweetness and its deliciousness, and they'll be able to taste the love of God for themselves. They'll be able to drink from his fountain. They'll be nourished by his word. And then they too, with time, with patience, with enough seasons, through our good works, through our good fruit, through the Spirit, will too begin to produce fruit of the Spirit. More trees will be planted in this world. And it's through that, through this fruit, through love, patience, gentleness, kindness and self-control, through those things which there is no law, those things will transform this world. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Having heard God's word, together we now stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, you are worthy to be held in reverence by all people. Thank you for all the blessings you bestow on us, unworthy sinners. Give us faith to acknowledge your grace. Fill our hearts with the desire to worship you above all else and enable us to serve you in holiness all our lives long. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you, Creator Father, for making and preserving all things, especially for making known to us your saving word and holy sacraments. Preserve the lives and faith of Monica, Sawyer, Katie, and Naomi whom you have baptized as your children. Send your spirit so that we bear the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, in your mercy. Father, unify your church in doctrine, purpose, and life together. Guide your people of St. Mark Zion, our Redeemer, and St. John congregations. Raise up pastors who preach your word and faithfulness and watch over your flock with care. Guard all missionaries and use them to turn unbelieving hearts to faith in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, preserve us in repentance and faith so that we never depart from Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Enable us to battle against the desires of our flesh, including sexual immorality, impurity, enmity, jealousy, divisions, and drunkenness. Bring to repentance all enemies of your church, and give us courage, so that we never grow weary, but endure to the day of Christ's coming. Lord, in your mercy, lend your grace and guiding spirit to those who lead each nation, especially Donald, our president,
to the Congress of these United States, to J.B., the Governor of Illinois, to our state legislator, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws, strengthen us to contend for the faith in public so that your voice can be heard by all people. Lord, in your mercy, defend us from every natural and man-made disaster, from scarcity and famine, from war and violence, and from every danger. Give fruitfulness to the land and prosper all lawful labor. Give us generous hearts so that the hungry may be fed, the homeless given shelter, the abused safety, and the poor relief. Prompt us to use our liberty for the good of our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, great physician of body and soul, grant faith, help, and healing to everyone in need, including Ingrid, Ed, the Martinez family, Mel, Jeanette, Nina, Sharon, Charles, Jeremy, Matt, Tara, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, and Reagan. Comfort those who mourn with the promise of resurrection life for all who die in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Father, accept our bodies, minds, talents, and abilities for your service, together with the offerings we bring today. Keep us from looking back with longing and from fearing the future. Since Christ has set us free, help us to stand firm and never to use our freedom as an opportunity to sin. Instead, lead us to love our neighbors as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Though we are but sojourners upon this earth, grant us safety in all our travels and most especially for our spiritual journey in this mortal life. We praise you for the faith and life that you granted to Gal and beg you to preserve us blameless in Christ until the day of his return. In his name we pray, Heavenly Father, for he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we collect our offering. Please stand for the offertory. Places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
I may this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ feed and nourish and produce the fruit of his loving Holy Spirit. Go in his peace.
Please stand. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.